This podcast is part of a special series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine.
Welcome to a policy podcast brought to you by Science Magazine. What can a malaria treatment program teach us about addressing illness in Africa? I'm chatting with Barry Bloom, co-author of the policy forum From Financing to Fevers, Lessons of an Anti-Malarial Subsidy Program, appearing in Science this week.
The Affordable Medicines Facility for Malaria, AMFM, was initially created in 2004, the goal of which was to think of ways to protect the one remaining good drug against malaria called artemisinin, to which resistance hasn't already developed or hadn't at that time already developed. So the concept to protect a critical antimicrobial is to do combination therapy. And then the question became, how does one encourage the production and purchase and use of artemisinin combination therapy, abbreviated ACTs, in malaria endemic countries? The Affordable Medicines Facility for Malaria, AMFM, is basically a bank that has collected funds to provide a subsidy and to negotiate with the producers of combination therapy to get the price down.
When a parent does come in with a child that does have a high fever, for example, what does happen and what would you like to see happen?
What happens in most of the instances of which we are aware where the rapid diagnostic tests for malaria are being used is that a higher percentage of fevers than we thought are not malaria. So what happens is, in the absence of alternatives, either the medical providers or probably shopkeepers provide anti-malarial treatment because that's what they have. And when you have an anxious mom and a kid with a fever, you have to do something. And it has been found that the most serious condition with fevers in many places that are not malaria relate to pneumonia. And severe pneumonia, or all respiratory disease, is the major killer of kids in the world. And ACTs for malaria are not going to cure kids with severe pneumonia. One really needs antibiotics, and they are generally not provided by community health workers and drugstores.
And so your hope is that with programs like AMFM, what will happen is that there'll be testing first and then more appropriate treatment.
That's right. And the only way they can afford that is if both the rapid diagnostic test, the RDT, and the artemisinin combination therapies are subsidized. And if the child doesn't have malaria, then there is no subsidy or real guidelines for what to do and how to treat severe febrile illnesses at the community level.
So I know that the private sector, there isn't as much demand for tests for malaria. Why is that?
If you're a shopkeeper and you have bought drugs to put on the shelf that are ACTs to treat kids with malaria, and now you have a diagnostic test that shows the kid doesn't have malaria, you don't make a sale of ACTs if you're providing appropriate care. And so one needs a mechanism so that everybody gains by knowing whether the child does or does not have malaria. The shopkeeper who does an RDT that isn't selling malaria needs some means of being paid for the RDT and for, let's say, anti-fever drugs, if they're provided, that will be cheaper than ACTs. Otherwise, as it is now, 65% of kids with fevers that are not malaria get ACTs, because that's what they have to give away.
Why is it that you think that there needs to be a move away from a disease-centered approach?
It depends on how one sees the object of provision of health care. Money is raised for AIDS, for TB, for malaria, for neglected tropical diseases. And then there are other things for which not a lot of money is raised, one of which is the major killer of kids, respiratory diseases, pneumonias. It would seem to me when they become silos, such that there is a mechanism to provide subsidized appropriate treatment for a kid with malaria, but nothing to do but tell the mom, I've done an RDT, the test is negative, your kid has 105 fever, sorry, I can't handle that. That strikes me as counterproductive in what we're trying to do, which is to provide health for kids. And I would see the need to move from narrow, disease-oriented, funding-restricted care of children and illness to things that others have called platforms for health in poor countries, which would be acute illnesses for moms and kids, chronic illnesses, urgent medical surgical problems for emergencies. This would be a rational way to be focused on the illnesses of the patients rather than the focus on the name of the disease or the source of funding from the donors.
Wonderful. Barry Bloom, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Read Barry's Policy Forum in Science's November 2nd issue. I'm Meghna Sachdev. On behalf of Science Magazine and our publishers AAAS, thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to a policy podcast, part of a series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine. The full Science podcast is released Thursdays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.